Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
It is hour number two of RadioLawTalk.com. Radio Law Talk on your radio, or if actually I would say those listening to us online or listening to us on the podcast when we eventually publish this, which is usually by Tuesday or Wednesday of the week following the time we do the show. This is hour number two. And folks, if you're not getting all 3 hours of Radio Law Talk, make sure that you go over to RadioLawTalk.com and pick up the hours that you're not getting. You can pick up the podcast, or you can catch us live. If you only get 1 hour or 2 hours, you can catch the remainder of the show. We're a 3-hour show, 9 to noon Pacific Standard Time, and you can go ahead and pick that up. So last hour we had some interesting. Cal stumped us on a case or no case.
Not us.
Well, stumped me. Well, I say us because I have a split personality. So you know, I'm upset, and I'm upset too. So, yeah, Cal stumped us, stumped me, did not stump Denise. By the way, Denise, welcome back again. She's been gone for the last couple of weeks, you know, judging from the tan. She said she had places to go.
It was a COVID scare.
Yeah, it was COVID.
No,
COVID, COVID is code for, I went to a place that was sunny. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, you know, I had COVID in my house.
Did you really?
My adult son, who stays with us with his grandchildren for the summertime, had the COVID. Had it for 15 days.
Wow.
We locked him in his room and said, don't come out. Set food on the floor. I mean, the guy, poor guy, was like he was in prison. It was not fun. And yes, I got tested. Yes, I'm fine. But it's a fright. When you're my age, you know, having someone around you with the COVID is a frightening thing, because I'm an old guy, and I'm in that vulnerable population that usually, you know, but it was scary. So I hope wherever you're listening, I hope you're COVID-free and that you're safe and that everything's all right with you.
You said it was like prison, and the first thing I think is, oh, my gosh, the Cal Hunter redemption. You know, I'd like to think that when we first put her in here, that was the first time I met Andy. I lost money because he did not cry that.
And he didn't
night.
Do my taxes.
Yeah. He didn't. The sisters got a hold of him as we were trying to give him his top ramen. Okay, that's enough for my very bad Morgan Freeman.
But that's what
Freeman
it was like
impression.
For him. It was. He said. I woke up one day, day three. I woke up and said, "Oh, I'm feeling pretty good today." Sat up. Next thing he knew, 3 hours later, he woke up. I mean, it was very physically challenging on him to have this COVID. It is not something you want to mess around with. So just make sure you wear your mask and you wash your hands and you do all that stuff.
Did everybody in her household have to test?
Yes, they did. His three children, who stay with us also for the summertime, they're fine. My wife did not get tested. She looked at me and said, wimp, what are you getting? No, she I don't think she ever felt the need to do that, but she's certainly well and happy. And
well, the issue I've got, the issue that I have with the test is, I mean, like, I went to go get tested, and there I am sitting there. Look at this piece of paper. A train leaves New York traveling at 55 miles an hour,
right,
headed west. Another train
in the afternoon.
It's like, well, what's it got to do with COVID? Oh, wrong test. My bad.
Well, the thing I had about it was I'm sticking a big old fat Q-tip up your snotter. Up your beak. Pardon me.
Yeah.
That's not that fun.
I had that one done. They were offering free tests in my neck of the woods. So I went, all right, I'll go over and check it out. And
how long did it take you?
To get the test or to get the results?
To get the test first.
Yeah, the test.
I applied, and I was in getting the test a week later.
Yeah.
And so I got the test the following week, and they said, we'll get your results in 4 to 6 days. 2 weeks later,
yeah,
I get a notice from them saying, we lost your specimen.
See, the thing with my son, it took them 2 weeks to tell him he was positive. 2 weeks.
Yeah, they tell me, yeah, we lost your specimen.
Oh, man.
We would like you to get retested. We will expedite it. Pick a date. So I said, all right, we'll do this 3 days later. The day before that test, I get an email. Found found your specimen, you're negative. Well, and I'm going, okay, yeah, I was negative 3 weeks ago.
I like it when the doctor says, the technician says, this is going to be a little uncomfortable. Oh, really?
Well, you know, that's interesting. The football players, these basketball players doing it, and even the baseball players, they're like getting tested every day. Every day they show up and they got to have that little Q-tip thing up there.
It's not comfortable.
Look, so there's two types of tests out there. One is to test whether or not at any given time, at that time, you are positive for COVID-19. The other test that is, and they really ought to be doing them in conjunction, but the other
they
test
that
I think that is a more important test is whether or not you test positive for the antibody.
I agree. Yeah.
Because if you test positive for the antibody, it means at one time you were exposed to it and your body produced an antibody to fight it off. I have a nephew who's living in a state that you have to fly to, and a lot of hula dancers there. And
so the Philippines?
No, a U.S. state.
Oh, wait a minute, Puerto Rico, sorry.
a recognized U.S. state, one of the 50.
Oregon.
There's a star
Oregon.
On our flag for it.
Oregon, yeah, I got it, okay.
And he was telling me that his buddies, they donate blood like every couple of weeks, those that have tested positive for the antibody, because they donate blood because they want this. They're harvesting the antibody to help do things. They're making a little bit of scratch doing that.
You know, my mom just had her tickets to Hawaii canceled. The airline canceled her flights.
Wow.
Yep.
My kids and their mother and stepdad went to Hawaii. It was a Christmas present. They opened up Christmas Day. We will go to Hawaii in March. And they left March 6th for a week-long vacation to Hawaii and got back right about the same time. It was like the next day they got back and all of the flights in and out of Hawaii were coming to a halt. And my daughter's texting me saying, when she was still there, we're hoping that they put that into place a little early. So we have to stay. Because she'd met a boy.
Oh, no.
It didn't go anywhere, but you know, she wanted to stay on the...
Well, neither did she, as it turns out.
Cal, can you get us set up for another case or not case?
I think I can. Let's see if we can squeeze this out here.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Hermione was a school teacher and a good one, she thought. Her kids in class seemed to respond to her well, but her principal, who came in after Hermione was hired, seemed to have a thing about her. Didn't like her very much. He gave her 3 evaluations, and they were all bad for the same thing. He didn't tell him what they were. He just said he was marking her down in a specific category of offenses. And after the 3rd bad write-up, she was fired. And then she got to see the evaluation, and it said, well, she said, this write-up is clearly not a fireable offense. So she sought counsel. The principle that the issue the principal actually wrote down is this. This teacher does not maintain eye contact with the students while writing on the chalkboard. And for that, she was fired. Hermione went to her union and the union's counsel seeking advice regarding possible reinstatement. And I ask you, Denise Dirks, you get to go first this time. Case or no case, what say you?
Wow, that's kind of a crazy reason for firing. It's certainly no cause for firing.
Well, you would think not, but what do we know?
What state was this?
In Hawaii, yes, Hawaii. Yes.
It was Hermione from Hawaii?
Well, Hermione from Hawaii, yes. Hawaii Hermione. Well, I think the thing was, I think it was a military school, and I think this was a military evaluator who came in and did
that. Oh, I got it. Okay.
So, yeah.
But the principal was the evaluator.
Yeah, but he's a military guy. You know, it was set up for service people's kids. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say that this is the case,
okay,
and that Hermione wins.
Okay. And Todd, what say you? We'll tell people the truth when we come back.
Given that we have the music playing, I... less than 30 seconds to give an answer.
Oh, come on.
So I'm going to wait. I thought Denise was going to do this, but with, you know, apparently 2 weeks on away, and her strategy is all gone.
I'm a little bit out of my element right now.
So fish out of water.
So we'll head to break. What do you think? If you think you know the answer, go ahead and tweet it at Radio Law Talk on Twitter. And if you can, in the next 3 minutes, we'll see what it is.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds at the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car wash, 100 feet of cloth, washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking snap.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
The Amor Joseph Valley.
Go to the website, RadioLawTalk.com. You can listen to the show there, and there's a lot of other good information, too. That's RadioLawTalk.com.
So we have the case of the teacher who was terminated was not shown prior to her termination what the same demerit on her evaluations was on three separate occasions, and after she is let go, she is able to read what it was she was marked down for, and it was failure to maintain eye contact with the students while she writes on the chalkboard.
Correct.
Yes, she should be, if it were her, if I were her, I'd be fine. Well, if that's the basis, then I'm going to file a disability claim. A discrimination based upon a disability, because clearly you believe that I should have eyes in the back of my head, and I was born without eyes in the back of my head, so I'm unable to maintain eye contact while writing on the chalkboard.
So you're admitting you're physically unequipped to do the job.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I am saying that you are not providing a reasonable accommodation. Give me a chalkboard made out of a mirror.
Okay.
And then I...
So what do you think, case or no case?
I am going to say that this is a case, and the plaintiff wins. I just.
Oh, he joined me. He's doing strategy.
No, I just can't. Look, I would love to disagree, but I'm not just going to give away points because this makes no sense. It's either plaintiff wins or it's no case at all, and you've already done a no case today, so I have to go with case and plaintiff wins.
Oh, you know how I do my case or no case? I put down a red and a white and a two black cards and a red card, and I pull up to see whether it's going to be case or no case. You know, I try to just pull out.
Yeah, but here's the thing:
red is black, red and black, red and black. Case.
I've got that Scantron mentality. You know, when I was a kid and taking these tests, and you're like, you know, they give you that sheet. It's 100 questions, multiple choice, and you start filling them in, and you look back, oh, boy, I've answered C like the last five times. What are the odds of that? I got to do something else.
Well,
I have an interesting story about that, but that's for another time.
For those of you who say this was a case, here's the deal. This actually happened in a military fort, but not in a great school. It happened in a military fort, and it was just as a joke in the Reader's Digest. He wasn't fired. It was just a joke in the Reader's Digest. And I thought, well, I could adapt that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your case or no case. No points for you. No points for either of you on this.
When I was a kid, I was in the fourth grade. And, you know, they take those aptitude tests. You have, like, 2 days of school testing where it's all these aptitude tests they make you take. And after I took the test, I get called to the principal's office. And I think my mom was there.
We get called in because
they were very concerned about my low IQ.
They said,
well, you know, we have your Scantron form here. We're looking at all this, and we've got a problem because you scored very low. You missed, like, every question.
Want
to know what's going on. And I said, yeah, well, is that the Scantron? Yeah. So if you take it and you turn it sideways, I made the outline of a dragon. And you looked at it like, oh, brother. They made me take the test again. And I actually ended up testing into the gifted program, which they didn't have a program for, so whatever.
Well, next hour, by the way, I'm going to have you a case or no case about Japanese underwear.
Ooh. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Coming up on Radio Law Talk in hour number two. By the way, we are streaming now effectively at RadioLawTalk.com.
Okay, so we are now streaming. Great.
That's what they tell me. Yeah.
Okay, well, now I got to shift gears here. Let's see. We talked a lot about copyright cases in the past. One of the copyright cases that we followed, and this may or may not have to do with my musical interests growing up and still to this day, was the Led Zeppelin lawsuit. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Led Zeppelin lawsuit had to do with the song Stairway to Heaven, and they were being sued by the administrator of the estate for a guy named Randy Wolf, I think that was his, whose band Spirit had written a song called Taurus. Now, that was released back in the mid-60s, prior to this song, which is the well-known song Stairway to Heaven from Led Zeppelin that was released in 1972 off of what they commonly call their Zoso album. It's the fourth album by Led Zeppelin. And so the executor of the estate for Mr. Wolf, because he had passed on, believed that the Led Zeppelin song Stairway to Heaven, in infringed on this song?
Only because it did.
Yes.
I mean, musically, this is a complete no-brainer to me. A complete no-brainer.
What you're listening to is the song called Taurus.
Correct.
Written by the band Spirit.
Yep.
Right, the introduction to that song.
That, yeah, that's the introduction.
That's a key point.
That is a very important point. Now, just as a background, okay, prior to, I think it was 1974, 75, maybe 76. Now, that is Stairway to Heaven.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Prior to 1976, the copyright laws in the United States required that the artist actually file the sheet music of the song they were seeking to have copyright protection for. That had to be filed. In 1976, the law changed where they could just go ahead and file the recording itself. Okay? So when Spirit, or when the executor of the estate for Randy Wolf goes to sue Led Zeppelin for copyright infringement occurring in 1972, guess which version of the law applied?
1972.
That's right, which means whatever was filed with the Copyright Office, the sheet music, if you can prove that the song is the same as what was filed in the sheet music, then you have infringement. Okay, that's the way it works.
Right, that law stems from 1909.
That's right.
So it was a very old law, and it was based on the technology of music at
the time. Correct.
So I'll leave you with this teaser. When Spirit filed the copyright for Taurus, the sheet music did not include the iconic intro that we heard from both songs. It had the body of the song, not that. And when we come back, we'll talk about the effect of that on the suit and where it stands now. Don't go away. You listen to Radio Law Talk on your favorite radio station.
Thanks, Todd. We'll continue with the show after this. Don't go away.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
At TicketChocolate.com, we believe that simplicity is best. We also know that chocolate is one of life's finest things that can help you savor your greatest moments. Late night visits with old friends, overdue romantic moments, and quiet mornings all to yourself. See their wide variety, like hot chocolate sticks or creamy marshmallows, and a lot more at TicketChocolate.com. They remind busy people like you to take time for the pleasure small things can give. TicketChocolate.com, where simplicity is best.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast, 800-814-5108. 800-814-5108. 800-814-5108. That's 800-814-5108.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state...
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The United Nations Security Council overwhelmingly voted against the United States resolution to indefinitely extend the arms embargo against Iran. The 13-year embargo will now expire in mid-October, allowing Iran to buy and sell conventional weapons without UN restrictions. The embargo was first formed in 2007, well before the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran was forged by the United States, the UK, France, Germany, Russia, China, and the European Union. That deal, which created the October 2020 expiration of the embargo, gives Iran relief from economic sanctions. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo slammed the vote in a statement, writing, "The Security Council's failure to act decisively in defense of international peace and security is inexcusable." The White House now has options: pursue an increasingly hard line against Iran or forge a compromise with European allies. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most: finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Are you serious? That is Armadillo.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So we went into the break talking about Stairway to Heaven and the lawsuit that was filed by the estate of Randy Wolf, claiming that Stairway to Heaven infringed, was taken from, infringed on the copyright protections of a song that had been written probably 6-7 years earlier called Taurus.
And you can't blame Randy Wolf. That hit was so big that, I mean, bigger than anything Spirit ever had. They had one hit called I Got a Line on You, Babe, that was nothing by comparison. I mean, there's a ton of money floating around when you get a hit like this. Millions.
I get that. However, if they had a copyright claim, Randy Wolf would have had this copyright claim and would have said, hold on a second here. Oh, back in 1972 when Stairway to Heaven was released, it was an iconic song. It was played everywhere. I find it hard to believe that Randy Wolf never went, you know what, that sounds a lot like my song, and I think I have a case.
But I think I can tell you why that may not happen. Before he passed, I got a chance to interview the great country star Merle Haggard a few times, and he said, you know, Cal, I rarely listen to the radio for fear that if I write a song, someone else might say, you know, Merle, you stole that from me, like a hit song, and they will accuse a guy who writes a lot of music. They don't listen to the radio or consume that much popular music. Many don't, for fear of this very thing, putting a link between popular music and songs they're writing. He said, I want my stuff to be from my body, from my soul, from my head, not from some pop bubblegum song I heard on the radio. And I thought it was pretty insightful. So we'll see.
Right? Yeah, I mean...
Well, the whole question, isn't it not just the underlying case itself, but this is a gone up through the Court of Appeals.
It is. When we went to break, I was talking about what the effect of not filing... And what effect that had on the case. Because at trial, the plaintiff lost. Okay? Randy Wolf lost. Now, here was the issue. Randy Wolf's estate, they wanted the jury to hear the songs. Listen to Taurus, listen to Spirit. Look, we just played them earlier last hour, and if you hear them, my gosh, they sound a lot alike.
Virtually indistinguishable, even in the same key.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the problem. The part that sounds the most alike is the part for which there is no copyright protection. And that's the intro, because there was no sheet music filed for it.
That's just wrong, man.
And so there was no sheet music filed for that part. And so the other thing that the judge ruled was, well, wait a second here. The copyright protection is based upon the sheet music. It's not the recording. If we play the recording as recorded, the masters are, you know, if we play that for the jury may listen to the similarity and find that there is a copyright violation under circumstances where there shouldn't be, because they'll be basing it upon the part that was not copyright protected. So to get the music before the jury, they had to have professional musicians come in and play from the sheet music, right? Like they're sitting down at a piano playing from that. Ultimately, the jury found there was no copyright infringement. There was no violation. Neither side was happy with the way things happened. They appealed. The appellate panel said, you know, we disagree. It ended up going up to the full appellate panel for the Ninth Circuit, who said, still no copyright infringement.
Mm.
And that's where we find ourselves today.
And there was
today.
A lot of interest in this. We're talking about a lot of different entities filed amicus briefs.
That's right.
And even the State Department, I mean, even the Justice Department got involved in this lawsuit through an amicus brief.
And I think the reason behind that is both Jimmy Page and Robert Plant testified at the trial, and I think a bunch of people said, hey, you know, if we file here, if we have this, we might be able to meet Robert Plant and Jimmy Page.
So now the plaintiffs, as a last resort,
yes,
have asked for certiorari. That means they've asked the United States Supreme Court to hear the case.
That's right.
And so that's the status right now. We're just like sitting on pins and needles. Will SCOTUS hear Stairway to Heaven?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg going, I like that song. Yeah. You know, here's what's interesting about that. I keep listening to what Todd's saying and what you guys are telling us about this, and I'm thinking to myself, could that very well be where the term intellectual property may have been coined, where people said, listen, you may not have been able to write it out on the piece of sheet music, but it came from your brain into the public domain. Wouldn't that make it some kind of intellectual property? I'm just wondering about that.
It might. I think that they got a few problems with, in the music industry in particular, with doing that. And I'll tell you why. First, let's take any blues song that was written. If you listen to Chuck Berry, what's the song that was played on Back to the Future?
Well, you got Johnny B. Goode.
And if you listen to that song,
and the Beach Boys' I Get Around,
it's identical, even down to the intro.
Right, right.
And part of the problem is it's very common for blues players, and in country music it's the same thing. Okay, let's do this, and they'll call it a certain riff, and we'll start it in the key of B, all right?
And give me a New York ending, right, exactly.
And they do this, and everybody knows what that means. Well, how do you copyright that? If it's a standard, you know, 12-bar blues or whatever, it's the same. The thing that makes it unique is the lyrics, right? It's different, so it'd be hard to copyright that. But the problem that some folks are saying about this lawsuit and the request to have the United States Supreme Court hear this is that the plaintiff is now raising issues that he did not raise the trial level or appeal. Mm-hmm. And here's one fundamental rule for appellate work and for cases going up on appeal. You can't raise new issues on appeal. If you didn't litigate it and raise it at the trial court level, you can't bring it up new, for the most part, on appeal. And they didn't raise some of these issues. So
I mean, I can see where, as a matter of basic fundamental fairness, they'd say, come on, everybody's gotten this wrong. Just listen to this. I can see where they'd keep trying to shoot a shot until they get nothing out of it, because it's a big deal.
And that raises an interesting point that Denise brought. So now the way the law is if you file the recording, look, if the recording sounds the same, you get copyright protection. So what did a bunch of artists do that had filed for copyright protection before the change of the law, when you had to file the sheet music? What did they do once the law had changed?
They wrote the song, recorded the song, put it in an envelope, a sealed envelope, and mailed it to themselves to establish the date. So if a court case ever came up, they could take that sealed envelope in and say, here's my recording of that song, you may listen to it, unaltered.
That's the, poor man's copyright.
Right.
Here's what represented artists did. They went and took the master recordings of every song that they had recorded up to 1976, for which their copyright protection was based upon sheet music,
right,
and they filed for new copyright protection, this time filing the master recordings.
Smart.
If it's changed, this is what we want.
And they got an extension out of the copyright that way.
Yeah. Yes. So that's how things changed for copyright law.
Oh, cool.
And
that's good lawyering, folks.
I agree completely. Yeah. Yeah, here's what the law said. We didn't write it. We're just following it.
I just like listening to music. But let's stick around with copyrights.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. There's another very interesting copyright suit that was just dismissed by a federal judge, and it involved Genius Media, and also they had accused Google of stealing the song lyrics of their own songs, because Google, as you know, prints out the lyrics to songs. And you can look it up on Google and say, you can type in a word saying Stairway to Heaven, and it's going to bring up all the lyrics. It's pretty interesting and pretty fun. So this was filed last December, and Genius was actually seeking $50 million in damages. And this is a very interesting judge here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the judge?
Well, I don't know where you're going with the judge.
Well, because I think the judge found in favor of the defense, but also in favor of the plaintiff. It kind of,
to a certain extent. So the Google search engine, I just typed in while Denise was talking about Stairway to Heaven lyrics, and the first thing that pops up are the Stairway to Heaven lyrics. It's done by Google. But Lyric Find, a company, Lyric Find, actually provides the technology to Google to give me the Stairway to Heaven lyrics. This lawsuit by Genius was claiming essentially that Lyric Find would go to the Genius website and scrub, meaning would take the lyrics that Genius Find had uploaded for popular songs, take that, and they would put it into the Google search. And they said, oh my gosh, you're infringing upon our work.
You're stealing our work.
Yes.
Yeah, not our lyrics, because they're not our lyrics. Right.
And that's what the judge said. The judge says, wait a minute, you have derivative work. Yeah. You didn't write these lyrics. How is it that you can ask for copyright protection over lyrics that you didn't write? And when we come back, we'll follow up on what the judge said, because it was very interested and pointed out something that maybe Genius hadn't thought of. And maybe they weren't ingenious.
And that's good judging.
Yes, that's good judging.
Stay right there. We have more good Radio Law Talking coming up right here on your favorite radio station and, of course, streaming live at RadioLawTalk.com. Stay tuned. Denise and Todd will be right back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with...
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. starvation, or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I'm here with Scott Useum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now, back to your host.
Where's Fred?
Oh, that's down.
Are you serious?
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny.
Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny, who is absent today, out on assignment, but he'll be back probably next week, would imagine. We went to the break. We were talking about this case brought by a company called Genius. They were suing Google because Google, if you type in the name of a song and then you type in lyrics, the first hit is Google telling you what the lyrics are to that song. And I thought it was, and Genius is saying, you got that from our website, from the technology that we had, and so they tried to sue Google for copyright infringement. Now, the interesting thing here is the method by which Genius was able to claim that nearly 40 to 45% of the lyrics that you see that are Google results, as if Google's giving to you, were actually taken from the Genius website through the other firm Lyric Find. And the way they were able to do that is because they had included, in my opinion, an ingenious watermark technique in their lyrics. This is what they did. They would alter the lyric, not the words, but they would alter the font of the apostrophes used in the lyric. So they were alternating. They had two different types of fonts. Well, the thing is if you decode the two different types of fonts, it's actually Morse code, and it spells out red-handed. So they were able to look at the lyrics that Google was popping up there, and if they saw that Morse code in apostrophes, they knew that it came from their website because they were the only ones that were using that code.
And they also knew nobody has any more money than Google or perhaps Microsoft. I mean, perhaps Apple. That's it.
Sure.
They said, well, look, we caught them red-handed. Now let's see if they can give us some green.
And Google said, you know what? We're not going to roll over on that one.
No, I don't. What I think is going to happen is I think that Lyric Find may go out of business, because what the court found is that Lyric Find was not paying for the lyrics themselves, and they were not the owners of the original writers of the lyrics. Thus, they were getting royalties or whatever you want to call it, some kind of a fee by putting this over to Google, and Google was paying them. So Google thought it had rights to actually post these lyrics.
Oh, I see.
Lyric had misproperly taken
so
the
lyrics. So Denise writes a song, I take the lyrics, I post them, I get a royalty for posting them, and you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and not only was the lyrics and Google both wrong in this regard as to the original artists that wrote the songs, but so was Genius.
Wow.
Genius had also did not have rights to the original.
Who brought that up? Did Google
lyrics.
Bring that up?
So the judge brought it up. So what Google, what
lyrics, is he a litigator?
Lyric Find was the one that pointed out that, look, Genius can't sue for copyright infringement because Genius doesn't own the copyright to this stuff. It's a derivative work. The copyright is the songwriter. Okay, and so what the judge pointed out to Genius was, you know, you're claiming that Google and Lyric Find have infringed on your copyrights, but where is the approval that you received to publish the lyrics on your website from the original songwriters? They said, at a minimum, Google was trying to pay people. But you haven't offered to pay anybody anything. And so Genius is looking at that like, oops.
I mean, I think there's going to be another lawsuit by the original artist. I don't know. We got to see this.
Well, and you know, this is why last week we talked about...
Maybe Google just buy them.
Yeah, they could.
It'll be an opportunity moment. The company will be worthless.
Buy for nothing. But the problem is Google's already got Lyric Find that does the same thing, right? But last week we were talking, I think the week before, we talked about ASCAP and BMI. And essentially both of those entities collectively allow for, what do we call it, one-stop shopping of rights to use music. Rather than, if I want to put on a production and I want to use music, rather than trying to go out and track down the individual artist to get their permission, most artists have just sort of ceded that authority and control to grant it to two entities, ASCAP or BMI, to say, look, you can go ahead and authorize this on our behalf, and if you pay the fee to ASCAP, then that gets to the artist somehow, and everything's fine, right? It's a central hub.
Everybody has to report to them, and then they pay a fee based on the reporting. That's what happens.
Exactly. And so, but that's for the actual melody with the lyrics. I don't know that ASCAP and BMI have a lyric-only division. And
well, it's for three things, Todd. It's for the lyric, for the melody, and for the performance. So if I pay a radio station, I want a Beatles song. You're right. I'm paying for the composition, and I'm also paying for the Beatles' performance of that particular song. So it's a three-pronged fee that you're paying for, all three elements. So when someone buys a music catalog, like Michael Jackson music catalog, and they say, we want to use a Michael Jackson song, Michael Jackson people may say, okay, you can use the song, but you can't use his performance. That's why in a lot of commercials you'll hear knockoff versions of what were popular songs, because they did not license the actual performance. They just licensed the lyrics and the melody.
And so my question here with this is, if there's just a search engine that wants to find out what the lyrics were, right? I just want to know what the lyrics are. Is just for finding the lyrics, is that something that BMI and ASCAP would be involved in? Or should there really be another entity, and it certainly isn't Genius, and it certainly isn't Lyric Find, but a way for these folks to get some sort of revenue from people just looking for the lyrics. Yeah, at some point, I also look at it and go, you know, there are a lot of music careers out there that were promoted and based in almost exclusively on the bootleg industry, and that they made it famous because of that.
True.
And one of the biggest hypocrisies that I had seen in all this was Metallica taking folks to task with Napster. Metallica made it big because of the bootleg industry, because somebody took recordings and folks' stuff to shows where they were the opening act when they were playing in bars, and it got popular, and it made it around, and everybody's able to listen to it, and the demand to the record company, sign these guys, we want to buy their stuff, and they were the ones at the forefront of saying, oh my gosh, bootlegging is terrible, shut down Napster. You wouldn't have your career if it wasn't for them. Bootlegging is like the paparazzi of music. So it is what keeps artists relevant, and they keep trying to shut it down, and it's saying, yeah, you're going to do that. You cut off the nose to spite your face.
Much like they tried to do to traditional terrestrial radio. They want to just keep hammering us with fees, 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 and yet we play these songs to give them exposure, and this has always been the long battle between ASCAP, BMI, and radio. They say, well, we play the song, therefore people know about it, they go buy it, you have a direct benefit. It's a symbiotic relationship. And the artists say, well, that may be, but you wouldn't have a music station if it weren't for our music. And we say, you wouldn't have a career if it weren't for our music station. So we're kind of in that constant wrestling ring, you know, going over those same arguments.
Yeah. And then in the last 10 years, even with the Stairway to Heaven case that we just talked about, we have seen what I call the litigation method of marketing. For this reason, do you know that I had never heard of the song Taurus by Spirit before this copyright case was brought up? And I would venture to say that a lot of people haven't heard it. But do you know how many times I have Googled or searched on YouTube for that particular song since the copyright? I mean, I've done it at least 50 times in preparation for stories and listening to it and doing the show. I think the same thing is true of Marvin Gaye's estate. How many copyright infringement lawsuits has the estate of Marvin Gaye filed? And every time they do, you know people are out there going, oh, that's where it came. I remember that. And the sales go up on iTunes. Litigation is the new marketing tool. And guess what? We're coming up on the end of another hour. Now, is this a...
This is Taurus. See, you got it confused right there. Exactly my point.
Yes, Stairway to Heaven has more percussion, right?
Yeah. But virtually identical in the intro, so it's pretty fascinating stuff.
We're through 2 hours. We are through 2 hours here on Radio Law Talk. One more hour left to go. If your station cuts off, go ahead and head on over to RadioLawTalk.com. You can catch us on our third hour. We'll be back after this short break.
And we want to make it clear we love our affiliates, but we hope all of them carry us for 3 hours, but not all do. So we've given you an alternative acquisition strategy, as they say in business school. We'll be back. Don't go away.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.